Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to Church Talk Podcast. We are so excited that you could tune in for this morning's conversation. I'm assured, I'm confident that this conversation is going to inspire you. It is going to bless you. It is going to help you fulfill the call of God over your life. Each and every one of us have a calling. Each and every one of us, we are called with a purpose, with a mission. The question really is, how do we accomplish that call? The question really is, what manner, what methods, what principles, what guidelines do we put in place in our journey to fulfill that call of God on our life? So today I want to take some time to discuss this with a dear pastor friend of mine. We have Pastor Amit Kamble all the way from Solapur tuning in for this morning's conversation. Pastor Amit, thank you for tuning in. And thank you for saying yes to being on our podcast. Please greet our listeners.
Thank you, Pastor Preeji. Thank you for having me here and everybody. Hi, this is Amit, and I'm so glad I get to do this once again. I did it a while ago, and I'm really excited. So hope that we will have a great time of conversating with some good things that we are going to talk about, and you will get to learn in turn. Yeah, excited about it.
Amen, absolutely. How has church been, Pastor? How has ministry been on your end? We would love to hear of an update. We know that the Lord has been using you greatly in Solapur and across the nation, across the world. We'd love to hear some reports of what the Lord has been doing in and through your ministry.
Yeah, these couple of years, Pastor, the church has been, you know, God has been really gracious over us, and we've been seeing the hand of God over our church like never before. We have seen the presence just falling down in our Sunday services and our worship nights that we do, in the weekdays that we are doing. We are seeing that the youth, is getting ready for what God is going to just, you know, pour out. And these last 2 years have been really important for us, because I remember a year before this last year, 2020, to post COVID, like, you know, right, I have a worship ministry and I keep traveling. I was in prayers and I was asking God about my church, and then I got this feeling inside that I don't want to go for events outside this year. I mean, I'm talking about 2022. So I guess, if I'm not wrong, I was out the last year for a Sunday, for Sundays just once. I was out in the entire year, which is very unusual, you know, about me. And so we were very focused on church. We were very, the weekdays, of course, and you know how important it is for a pastor to be seen on a Sunday service also. So I made sure, you know, that and since it was post COVID, every church around India wanted to do events. So that was difficult for me, you know, to say no to so many people when all the other worship leaders were, you know, going left, right, center. They were just going out and doing events. And I was saying, God, no, I need to be with my church. So that actually, you know, I think God honored even that small step that I could take. So, but then church is great. Thank you for asking.
Wow, that's good to know. In a way, I'm sure that your church also required or needed that presence of the senior pastor, and I'm sure that the Lord has been doing great things. And in a way, I do believe that when you're present there physically, you're in fact raising so much more Amit Kamblesh for the nation, for the different cities of India, than when you would travel solo, you know, to different places. When you're working in this church, discipling so many people, raising up other worshipers in the church, that is multiplying the anointing upon your life by so much more fold. And we really appreciate what you're doing for the body of Christ in our nation. I want to understand from your perspective, if and when you would train young people. I'm sure that there's so many people in your church that look up to you as their spiritual leader, and they are also called like you are. And at some point or the other, they may want to start off a new ministry or a new you know, organization, or sometimes it may even be a new church or a brand church. I want to understand, as a senior pastor, what are the signs that you look for in your young people, and you know that, okay, now they are ready. This is not just ambition. This is not just a dream that they have, or this is not just, you know, they've just woken up one fine morning saying, I want to go as a missionary to Afghanistan. But that they really are, you know, driven by the Lord, and then they are prepared and they are ready for this next season. How do you identify that? Or what are some of the signs by which you would know that they are ready for this next step?
Good question. It relates to me even more because I started, I think I was 25 or so when I said yes to coming into pastoral ministry. Even before that, I was into my worship ministry where I used to travel. Not much though, but at a young age, what I want to say is I said yes to the pastoral ministry, and it was a ride. And got to learn so many things. But even when we are and where I am today, and I see there are a lot of youngsters, of course, in the church who we see as leadership, we see that, you know, they are not just there because we are saying, they are there because they have the heart to do it. And we see that the Spirit of the Lord is leading them to do it. They might not know that in days to come they would, you know, God would use them individually as a separate entity in ministry or church, you know, per se. So, good question. What would be, you know, the signs that we see? I've been watching my young guys in the church, you know, one or two of them, I really see them. I'll be sharing about them as well, and then I would love to also share about how I came into ministry. So, you know, it would be more relational.
Practical. Yeah, practical. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, I think the first thing, without any doubt, is if we know inside that God has clearly, very absolutely clearly spoken to me about coming into ministry or starting any ministry or a church. So this statement itself is so wide, you know, we just can't say that, you know, okay, you need to hear from the Lord. It is like, how do you know that it is from
this
the
is
Lord
the
and
Lord.
Stuff? So because there was this one person who came to me and he said that, you know, God has told me to get into full-time ministry. So I had to really sit with him for a couple of hours and really understand, then explain to him. And then he, you know, came to know that it was God not just telling him to get into full-time ministry, but to just be in ministry. So sometimes God speaks, but we have an understanding, we have a pre-understanding about what God is telling, and then we explain to ourselves according to what we think. He was thinking that God is calling me in ministry, that I should leave everything entirely, not work at all, and get into full-time, you know, and God will provide for that. All of that is right in its own pace and time, but we had to sit with him and explain to him what it is when you say it is ministry and you need to come into ministry.
That is true, because sometimes, even if you've heard the voice of God, how we interpret the voice of God is very significant. You know, we need our mentors, our leaders to help understand how and when we are ready for the next step. And and you're right in saying that, Pastor.
Yeah, so like clearly to hear God and know that, you know, it is God who has spoken. Exactly. For this, basically with me, what happened was when my pastor came and told me, I see a pastoral call over you. I was so afraid. I didn't want to do it. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I will never become a pastor in my life. He said, please fast and see. I fasted. I did not hear God. Let me tell you, I did not hear God. So it was so clear for me that God did not speak to me. I will not become a pastor. That's it. But after him, I think in 6 months' time, there were two or three men of God, prophets who came to me and who told me that I have a pastoral calling. That's when I started taking it seriously. And then I was still not settled with this. I said, okay, God, if you want me to, because I was so scared, I didn't want to be a pastor. So I said, God, if you really want me to be in this, I said, I want someone to come to me and use these words when he's saying, and then I forgot about it. Give or take about 5 months down the lane, I am sitting, you know, in a meeting, and the man of God just comes to me, and it was a private meeting in his office, and I was sitting, and then he used the exact words that I really asked. And I got so scared. I said, okay, I asked for it. God gave it to me. I was so not willing to surrender, but then I did. And I'm glad I did, you know. So what I mean to say is sometimes it is that you really don't know and God keeps coming at you.
Yeah.
He will have you, whatever it is, and he will make it clear. He will really, really make it clear. But for the youngsters, what I really would want to say is, you know, if you are under a covering also, that really, really matters. Like, so I know my guys are there and, you know, I am covering them. So, and they are under my covering. So they know that, okay, we have a direction coming from our pastor, from our spiritual mentor or our spiritual father. So like how Elisha saw Elijah doing things and he knew how it is to be done, what it is to be done. Gehazi saw Elisha, Joshua saw Moses, you know, Samuel saw his master. So I think if we also continually and, you know, be under our covering, God, it becomes easy actually for us. That becomes a shortcut for us to understand, for the young person to understand that this is what the Lord wants in my life.
Sometimes we think that starting my own ministry means independence. That, you know, I just can do whatever I want to do and I can preach however I want to preach, whatever I want to preach, go wherever I want to go. I feel that that's more of an ambitious desire to start our own thing. But when we say, hey, wait, if you want to start your own ministry, you have to still be under covering. You have to still be under mentorship. You have to still be under someone else's leadership. That is a big ask, because now I have to like submit everything I want to do. Want to preach, or even my character, my personal life, all of it gets under the scanner. I'm reminded of this story of when a young man came to Jesus and said, Master, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, okay, you can, but bring me all your money and let's do this with your money. Let's make sure all this money is distributed among the poor. And this young man, he thought it's going to be an easy thing to follow Jesus, but then there was a high price to follow Jesus. There's always a price that we need to pay in order to serve the Lord in such a manner. Right. And I'm sure that you've paid your own price and you've made your own sacrifices, and there are so many areas that you can talk about today that, you know, you would have had to give up to be able to do what you're doing today. And sometimes as young people, you know, our young people, we are not aware of it. You know, they learn over the ages, but they are not aware of the sacrifices that they have to make or the price that they have to pay. And I want to know, Pastor Amit, like, you know, because you started off ministry at a very young age, you know, what advice would you give to our young people of some mistakes to avoid early on in ministry? What traps can they make sure to skip? You know, sometimes we learn only after we fall into a trap or a ditch. But if we could just share, what are some of the things that we could do early on in ministry so that we can avoid unwanted rerouting, unwanted detours?
Yeah, I think how the Lord taught me was, he taught me in a way that, Amit, you don't have to rush into ministry. Don't have to rush into ministry. I was looking at different pastors, different ministries. They were having you know, thousands and thousands of people, and then
overnight success.
Yeah, overnight success. Correct. And I have. I have prayed, I still do pray that, you know, I also believe in mega churches. I also I also believe that we need to have, you know, work and ministry in every place, you know.
Yeah.
And then God would give us that success also. Mm. But what happens is, you know, young people tend to rush into things. Then they start making mistakes.
Yeah.
And the output is premature.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, a young, I learned out of mistakes that I wanted to rush into ministry. I said yes, now I need to show it to the people around me that I said yes, and it is actually, so we try to prove also that it is the Lord who brought us into ministry. When also the youngsters get into this, that I need to prove myself as a pastor.
Yeah, right.
You know, then we try to rush into things, and then we fail, and sometimes fail miserably. And sometimes there is an output, but there is a premature output, which, you know, which is not good for us and for the ministry. We need to understand, if I have started a ministry, that God is not in hurry with me.
Exactly, yeah.
He is not in hurry. Pastor, I had this one man, man of God, who had come years ago. I was not even a pastor at that time, and he was teaching on evangelism, and he also was talking about, you know, you don't have to expect everybody that you speak to and evangelize to that they will immediately say yes to the call that you are giving.
Yeah,
and then he happened to ask people in that hall. He made someone stand and said, please tell me what is your age. Please tell me what is your age. And someone said, okay, I'm 36 years old. Someone said, I'm 52 years old. Can I ask you, when did you get saved? Someone said, the one who was 52 years old, he said, I got saved when I was, say, 30 years old. Someone said, I was 20 years old. Someone said, I was 40 years old when I got saved. He said, God can wait for you to be of the age of 40. To say a yes to him and get saved.
Wow.
Says enough how God is patient.
Beautiful.
About his work. So
he
put it so beautifully in front of us. At that time, I was relieved. Like, okay, I need not to do rush. I hurry. Okay. So that's what, you know, we need to, as young people into ministry, we need to understand God is not in a hurry. So there is no need to rush into ministry. He will teach you on the way as you are growing, you know?
Exactly. I like the word that you used there, Pastor. Mm. You said a premature outcome, you know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we may see the outcome and think that, oh, God is still moving. Oh, God is still using me.
Yeah.
Oh, God is still, you know, doing wonders. Mm. But if it's premature, it can actually be hurtful on the long run. It can be deceased, like when a child is born premature, it doesn't have the immunity to fight off all the germs and the organisms that it's surrounded by.
Crazy,
but when it finishes its term and it's come out in the right time, the body is ready. It's able to fight off. You know, sometimes we wonder, why is it that we are facing so much issues all through the ministry? Every nook and turn, there is so much challenge. Probably some decisions were taken premature or before time, and there was a rush and a hurry. And I believe that that's something that our young people, I think the young people in our generation, we need to learn how to just wait, be calm, be patient, and let the Lord have his way in his time.
Absolutely.
And we will not lose anything. We will definitely not lose time.
Yeah.
God has all the time.
I mean, I'm not saying that we need to be lazy. I'm just saying that, you know, let it happen in its time. So, you know, just walk with God and let God walk with you. And and also in this rush thing, young people also are, like, this generation is also looking for a lot of perfection, where God exactly is looking. He's pleased with excellence over perfection, right?
Wow.
So he would not want things to be perfect in your ministry, at least initially. So but what he's looking is for a heart that will look for excellence.
Excellence,
That you would want to pour out your everything into what you are doing.
Right.
in return producing excellence instead of perfection. So again, to this younger generation, if you go for excellence more than perfection, God is more pleased with you into that, you know.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor Amit. This is already helping us. This is already a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's very important for us when we start off, or when we are just in our initial stages of starting off a ministry or an organization, that we associate with the right people.
Yep.
That we have the right people in our core team, that we have the right people in our inner circle, the ones that are supporting us, the ones that are walking very closely with us, because they tend to, you know, drain your faith or amplify your faith.
Yep.
They can actually, you know, be the reason for you to run faster, or they can actually slow you down.
Yep.
So how do you identify your core team? Initial days, it's so hard to find the right people, because the first person that shows up in your ministry, you want to make that person a pastor. You want to make that person a worship leader. You want to put that person on the keys and, you know, just make sure that all the roles in the church are, you know, filled. So it's very hard for us to resist that, you know, temptation to bring everybody on board. And so how do you identify, you know, who are the people that are ready to actually partner in this vision with me?
Yeah. I saw a church recently. It was the church which was formed because of some dispute, and then they had to separate themselves. A few of them had to separate themselves, and I'm sorry, I'm using this as an example, and then they started just coming together, and then they said, okay, this is a church now for us. And what we saw was everybody who came to the church was given stage.
Okay.
You are this, you are this, you are this, you are a, now you are a leader, now you are a deacon, now you are in the committee, now you handle the finance. Everyone is doing it. And I wanted to go and talk to them, but I could not because of some boundaries, of course, right? So I could not. So what you are saying is so right. You know, when you are forming a ministry, on your church is being built, and few people come, and then you would really want to, you know, give them responsibility and make them your team, your core team. But I ended up doing these mistakes. And
me too, Pastor. Me too. We've all done those mistakes.
Oh man, and failed miserably. And then it was like I came to an understanding. It is better not to have anyone for a while than to have someone and mess it up even
exactly.
badly.
Right.
What I understand from these years of the ministry that the Lord gave is, people who will understand and believe in your vision are important for you. I'm not saying others are not important, but let me put it in this way. The people who believe in you will become your congregation.
Wow.
But the people who will believe in you and your vision, they will become your wingman.
Whoa, that's powerful. Yeah.
All right. So there will be people who will believe you. Okay, I believe in you. Okay, you are good. You're a good person. You are a good preacher. You preach really well. You sing really well. Oh my God, when you sing, Pastor Amit, you know, we feel the presence of God, and you know, all of that. So they are believing in me and what I do. They only can come to a limitation of becoming a congregation for me in my church. But only those people who will believe in me and also in the vision that God gave me.
Right.
They can turn from becoming just a congregation member to a person who will be in my inner circle, in my core team. You know, that may take some time.
Exactly.
So that's one thing I feel very strongly that, you know, we need to just observe if there is someone around me who will believe not only just in me, but also in the vision that the Lord has given me.
Wow. That's
like,
really
I love
powerful.
You. I yeah. It's like, I love you, but, oh, okay, the vision that I'm not sure. So they might not just say it up front, but they have limited themselves, you know. So they will not be able to walk with you, grow with you, and partner with you and shoulder with you with what the Lord is doing through you. So that is, yeah, that is one. Also, Pastor, second thing what I have done is, this is more practical than more spiritual. It is, I have tested the waters. I've just put some couple of tests around, just to see that if whether this person, this guy, this girl would do according to what I have told. So
right.
Giving them some responsibility and just to see if they do it.
Yeah.
Most of them, are successful in doing that. But when I start giving them some unusual commitments, that allows them to just be in a very uncomfortable place.
That is where
I would understand. You know, some of them failed.
They couldn't.
They gave me some excuse and they would not do it. And I understood it.
And another way in which I could do was also to, after I give them the commitments or the work that they need to do and they have done it, I would give them feedback. And then I would see how they receive the feedback, how they grow with the correction. Are they resisting the correction or are they defending themselves or are they like trying to justify their faults or are they trying to submit when they're corrected? And that's how you know that, okay, wait a minute, this person can travel with us for a long time. This is so powerful, Pastor Amit. I want to know, how do you like inspire people in your church to serve? Now, I understand that when somebody understands your vision, they'll automatically begin to serve. But not everybody in the church understands the fivefold vision of the church, or they don't understand how to articulate the mission of this particular church or where we are headed to. But we still want all of them to serve in one way or the other, serve one another, serve in the running of the services, serve in the ministry of giving, serve in the way that we take care of our community. And that's not a one-person job, or that's not something that just me and my core team can do. It's the need of the entire church to serve. And this is not just young people, because sometimes when we think of serving, we are only looking at young people. But how can we really inspire everybody in our church, little children, young people, old and young alike, to serve? And how can we really grow a church or raise a church that has a heart to serve and to remain humble?
Yeah. Good one. I think, Pastor, what I have noticed is, or let me just put it in this way. I did not know how to handle these kind of things. But the way God brought me to be where I am was from... right from that, you know, that block one, from down under. And from there is where, you know, start serving in the church, come and, you know, clean the chair and put do the setup and the stage and everything, all of that. So I used to do all of that. There was a time when there were no youth in my church except for me. So I had to like get up 5 o'clock in the morning, go to the church office, get the trolley guy and put all the equipments and the chairs in it, go to the hall, rented hall, put all the chairs and the setup. It was a small setup though, but do all of that. And then after the church is over, do everything back and then bring everything back to church office.
Yeah.
So it was something that my pastor taught me and I kept doing it. And even when I became a pastor, I remember for a really long time until my seniors told me, Amit, you are a pastor now. You need to slow down and allow others also, you know, to serve. That's where I said, okay, yeah, that's the right one. But what I want to say is, let them watch you. Let your people watch you.
Right.
Correct. If they watch you, they will understand your heart. So you are not there only to boss around. You are there as a leader, and the leader not just teaches by words, but by his action, his or her actions. So, like, this is what happened with me in my church. No, so I did not have to really teach my my young guys, hey guys, you need to do this. So they saw me doing it. They really saw, not just me, my other leaders also. They saw us doing it.
Yeah.
And that's how they believed, okay, this is the way, this is the right way. And, you know, humility also matters so much into this. And again, humility cannot be just taught by words. They have to see you doing it, you know. So humility cannot be learned by hearing. It has to be taught by, you know, watching it. I watch this person and then I know, okay, he is humble. How is he handling things? How is he talking to people? How is he doing this, you know, stuff? There is a call and I take the call and a church member is yelling and shouting because of some issue, and I had to be ice cool on the call, and then I had to just say, you know what, auntie, you're going to see me this Sunday. I'm going to see you this Sunday. You are still a part of this church. I am still your pastor. Let's sit and sort things out, you know, wherever necessary. So I had to be ice cool. And when I had to share this with my guys, that's how they understood that, you know, we cannot lose our temper. We need to be, you know, we need to stay humble and try to understand and not lose our temper. So, and also, Pastor, I keep telling this to people. Humility is a present tense. Humility.
Yeah.
You cannot say, I was humble. The whole thing goes off the charts, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Humility is a present tense. You need to continue in humility.
Right.
That's where they see you and learn from you. Mm. And again, I want to bring back what you just shared a few minutes ago. That we need to address their shortcomings. In the ministry, if they are going somewhere, you know, wrong, we need to. If you know that they are your wingman, that they are your core team, you get to sit with them, talk to them, and not just pat them on their back and say you did well, but also to say, this is where you went wrong, and I think we need to correct here, and let's do it together. I am speaking out of some really not so good, I really want to say bad, but not so good experiences, Pastor. I mean, I could see one of our leaders making mistakes. And we were so, I was so fearful that if I speak with him, I might end up with something big, some big of an issue, one. Two, I might end up losing him and his family from the church. Three, it will be so bad in front of the congregation that, you know, the leaders are having issues with each other. Because of this pressure and the fear, we, or let's just say me, I could not correct my brother. And that ended up so, so bad. It ended up so bad. I really don't want to talk about it, but it ended up. So my point is, if I would have taken a bold step and in love corrected, I think we would have avoided some things.
Wow.
Then after that, maybe in another couple of years, something similar happened. And because we got that lesson of, you know, not going and correcting, we could go, we could sit with the other leader and talk and understand and be transparent. And things were so much better. Much better at that time. So yeah, addressing the shortcomings also really matter.
This is so powerful. Thank you for sharing this with us, Pastor Amit. One last question before I conclude. I want to know, how do we take discouragement in ministry? Because like you started off, not everything is going to be overnight success. Not everything is going to be overnight expansion, yep. and you know, you're being invited to 20 nations, and you know, your video is going viral. Praise God if it happens, but not every time is it going to be like that. Not God doesn't use everybody the same way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is normal for our expectations to be broken and, you know, our desires to feel unmet. How do we take that discouragement and how do we still stay on track with the vision? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I've seen that, you know, our young people, they start off saying, I want to plant a church. And when the church is not getting the momentum it should have gotten, they say, okay, probably God has called me to be a evangelist. And then they change their vision because they didn't see success in a particular season.
Yeah.
And then they do evangelism for some time. And then they are like, okay, wait a minute. Probably God has called me into prayer ministry. Let me start something for intercession. And then they again change lanes. And so in this process, they are constantly redirecting because they're looking for success instead of sticking to the vision.
Yeah,
so how can we remain encouraged even when we don't see the right success or the right momentum in the ministry? And how can we stay on our lane? How can we stay faithful to the vision that God has given us?
Yeah, wow. Vision actually, the vision that God gives us, it demands so many things, Pastor. It demands discipline. It demands us to be on the right track always. It demands patience. A lot of patience is demanded by the vision that the Lord, you know, has. And He is indeed very patient with us. But then again, the vision also demands patience. So again, saying the same words, like, it's not going to happen overnight. Mm. It's like I am in the water, like I'm in the sea, but my whole self, my whole body is in the water. I am all drenched. I am all wet. Mm. But when you start going a little deeper in the sea, there is this something called as current. There is a stream. You know, we need to understand and wait until we get an encounter and our body gets into that stream and then in that current, and suddenly the same water now is gushing and taking us really fast.
Really fast.
But then if I dip myself into the water and I say, okay, I'm not going faster, nothing is happening, then I try to get out of the water. That's where we fail. But if we are patient enough and just steer ourselves to that current, so that one appointed time of God, we get into that encounter, and then we can see that expansion and the growth that really God intended for us to have and to enjoy also. So, but in the meanwhile, when all of this is happening, we need to look for strengthening instead of expanding. I think this will help. This is what we did. As a church, when I started, it was maybe 60 people or something when we started, and we decided as a leadership, if I'm not wrong, for a couple of years, Pastor, we decided we will not work on church growth.
Wow.
It was a hard decision to take.
Right.
Every now and then we used to think maybe we took a wrong decision, but we had to get back to what we decided. For 2 years, we did not think about new people being added.
Yeah, right.
But we thought about strengthening the current congregation.
Wow.
What we have, to believe in what we have in our hands, as Jesus had the 5 loaves and 2 fish in his hands, just to believe in those and then, you know, believe for a miracle for multiplication. So for 2 years, Pastor, we did not do anything, no cell groups, no house groups, no evangelism. We were just doing things to strengthen the current congregation.
It's powerful.
Yeah. And then afterwards, when we thought, okay, we've done pretty well, now let's talk about church growth. Now let's go and start some cell groups where we have not ever placed our foot over there. And then that's how. And today we see growth, you know, from, I mean, I don't want to take numbers, but yeah, we see a substantial growth because of that. Now, we were 60 people. Now we have a center church. Now we have a church in the outskirts. Then we have a church, another couple of churches in the villages. So God has been really gracious over us. But we were very sure what we asked to the Lord. We said, Lord, we don't want to focus on expansion more initially because we want to really strengthen who we have in our hands for now.
Right, right. So prioritize strengthening over expansion.
Exactly.
And you will never regret it.
Yeah.
That is such an amazing word, Pastor. Would you just take a moment to pray for our listeners? And, you know, I'm sure that there are many people going through highs and lows and discouraging times and some who want to start off but don't have the right people to fuel that vision. Some who want to do the right thing, but they don't know what that right thing is. But if you could just speak the heart of God over our people and just pray that each and every genuine church planter or ministry pioneer, their vision will be fueled by heaven and that their drive will be fueled by the Holy Spirit and that they will have the grace to stay faithful till the end.
Yeah, sure. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for this beautiful time that you gave us, that we could just open our hearts and share our experiences and thoughts. Whatever we have spoken, every person who have heard this, Lord, I just pray may these not just be words that they have heard on the way back to their office or from the office back to their home and maybe on the bed lying, sitting on the chair and listening. But may these be the words that would really help many in their ministry. If there are young leaders who are listening to this, I just pray, Holy Spirit, come over them right now. And let them learn through our mistakes, through the mistakes that I did and I shared, Lord. Let them learn, allow them to learn from this so that they might not be entangled into unnecessary things, Lord. And delay would become a portion of their life and their ministry, Lord. So I cancel everything that is not from you, that they would be blessed with wisdom and understanding. And Lord, also with patience and love and humility and servanthood, servant heart, Lord, that they'd be blessed with all of this so that the product that would come out would be so fruitful, so fruitful. Yeah. Also, Lord, in all of this, help our young leaders to isolate from their daily things, from their daily schedule.
Yeah.
So that they will be able to associate with you more.
Amen.
Help them to isolate so that they will be able to associate with you, Father. I bless them. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Amit, for joining us today. If our people have to stay connected with you on YouTube, on Instagram, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
Well, I have a YouTube channel called Amit Kamble Ministries. I put out the worship stuff over there, more stuff about teachings on worship, teachings on... My wife's going to come up with some teachings on some encouragement for the women especially. So yeah, YouTube is one. And I'm there, Amit Kamble Official, as on Facebook and on Instagram. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much. We enjoyed having you on this podcast and hope to have you again with us very soon.
Would love to.
May the Lord bless you.
Would love to. Thank you so much, Pastor, for having me here. God bless.
Friends, if you're blessed, make sure to share this podcast with your friends. Make sure to comment. Let us know what is it that the Lord spoke to you. Make sure to forward it to other pastors or lay leaders in your church or other young people that want to start off a ministry and they want some wisdom and some advice on how to go about with it or what to avoid. And if you're looking for mentorship, if you're looking for up-close conversations, you're always welcome to write to us and we'll be more than glad to journey with you. God bless you. We'll see you again for the next episode.